Will you please amuse me for a minute and just close your eyes as I read the passage for today? When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. God in heaven, thank you for forcing me into this gift of preaching. Thank you for the communion and the relationship that you have established with me. Thank you for giving me ears to hear your voice. And thank you for this reminder that this is not about me, that this is just about you. So if I misinterpreted anything, please don't let people hear it. Please allow this message to sit well, to sit how you want it to sit in everyone's hearts. Amen. Okay, I'm back with the same nerves. The last time I stood back before this congregation to deliver a sermon was this past summer. For those of you who are not here or cannot recall anything I said, I don't really expect you to, I preached on time collapsing on itself. I preached on lament. These were all inspired by the biblical text of Psalm 130, a psalm of ascent. 7 months later, and it seems that the Lord has collapsed time on me, as I feel called to continue preaching on that same little anthology. You see, today's text is also part of the Songs of Ascent, a title given to a collection of 15 psalms. These 15 psalms were speculated to have been sung by Jews as they immigrated from Babylon to Israel to attend annual festivities, an immigration journey that was both spiritual and geographical, requiring a preparation of mind, heart, and body. This pilgrimage was required of men 3 times a year in the spring, summer, and early fall. But we know from the gospel accounts that women and children would sometimes make the journey. These pilgrimages were difficult ones, especially the ones made in midsummer, where the traveler would face an arduous and hot journey. However, they're recalled as joyous occasions, because they were traveling towards the temple, where they would find their community and what Psalm 36 refers to as the fountain of life. I think it's interesting how Psalm 126 begins. It begins with the word when. It almost feels like an interruption. It does not give any introductory lines, but just begins to tell you, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. We were like those who dreamed. What a beautiful and mysterious line. And we can spend the whole morning focusing on that line alone. There are numerous commentaries, actually, if you want to do more research about it. But for the purpose of the time, for this message and time, I want to focus on the we. I kept going back to this first verse. I kept recalling the context. These were songs sung by people on the move. I want to take a pause here and humbly invite you into my biblical imagination. It is the middle of the summer, and the first time that Junior was allowed to travel to the temple during the midsummer pilgrimage. He has been so excited, telling his cousins that he was finally old enough to go with them during the midsummer pilgrimage. But at this point, he has been walking forever. His feet hurt, he's tired, and no longer wants to eat the dry snacks that have been given to him. He craves the sweet, fresh fruits, and he's super thirsty. No one told him it was going to be this difficult. No one told him it was going to be this boring. So he begins. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much longer till we get there? How much that is that in seconds? Are we, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. What the heck is his aunt talking about? Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. That's it, Junior thinks to himself. She has finally cracked. He knew she was getting old. He told his mom that his aunt was kept forgetting stuff, but dang, this heat did get to her. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." He turns to his older cousin. Before he can say anything, she shushes him. "Shh, listen. Listen to our history. Listen to what God has done." Citywell, in this psalm, we're invited to witness this covenantal relationship between God and the Jewish people. They have a long and choppy history, one of rebellion, but also one of steadfast love. A love that parallels the biblical story we received last week of the prodigal daughter. A love that responds to our sins and transgressions with unmerited grace. This is what Junior's aunt is communicating with him. She is telling Junior of the great things that God has done and that God will continue to do for them, and how God has filled them with joy and welcomed them back with open arms time and time again. The psalm continues, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams in Negev." This is an interesting verse because Negev is a desert region in southern Israel. The Hebrew root of the word Negev actually means dry. Yet here is the psalmist asking the Lord to restore them like the streams of Negev. Why did the psalmist use Negev? Why not a luscious river or stream? Why referencing a desert? As I began to research Negev, I realized that by naming Negev, it was another way of the Jewish people recalling the pilgrimage and recalling their history. In Genesis chapter 13, it says that Abraham lived for a while in Negev after being banished from Egypt. Deuteronomy 34, 3-4 says, "Moses saw the Negev desert. He saw the whole area from the valley of Jericho all the way to Soar. Jericho was also known as the city of the palm trees. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, 'This is the land I promised with an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give you this land to your children and their children. Moses, I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you will not go across the Jordan River to enter it.'" Negev is a place of promise dating back to Abraham. The most interesting fact I found about Negev was that its dusty mountains are interrupted by riverbeds and deep craters. Those riverbeds and deep craters hold strong, powerful streams that are often described as flash floods after it rains. What a powerful visual. A couple weeks ago, I was procrastinating writing papers and began watching a random animal show on Netflix. It followed a couple different animals through the desert region of a South African country named Namibia. I was so impressed with the show, wondering how these animals were filmed. Most of the 45 minutes focus on the very difficult life of the animals as they were living in the desert, as they were searching for water. It showed how they had learned new ways of surviving, but also how competitive it was to find water with other animals. At one point in the story, it focused on a lone giraffe and a small elephant pack. These elephants looked different. They were much smaller and traveled in smaller packs. They were really cute. But that's besides the point. And there was a baby among them. So the camera follows the elephants, and as the elephants are walking, they're walking to what was called a pilgrimage, but I didn't know to what. And then this camera, which is crazy, zooms out, and then you see a huge stream of water coming in from a delta from the rain, and this dry land becomes a huge river. It was remarkable. It made such an impression on me. And that's how I envisioned the streams in the Negev when reading these psalms. I tried to find the exact name of the documentary this morning, but instead I got distracted researching the cute elephants. But I found something beautiful that I'd like to share. Do you remember how I noticed that the elephants were much smaller than the other ones? That's an adaptation that happened over time. Over generations, these elephants got smaller and smaller so that they could survive and travel longer distances through the harsh desert. This is how their bodies remember their history with the land and the promise of water. What a powerful and mighty God we know, that not only allows creation to recall through dreams and memories, but also allows us to recall through our histories with our own bodies. Brothers and sisters, have you forgotten how to dream this morning? Can you no longer recall the dreams and history of your people? Are you like Junior walking an arduous pilgrimage asking, when will I get there? Or are you standing thirsty, waiting in a desert, wondering if the stream will ever run again? I have good news for you. God has not forgotten the promises that God has made with you. And God is big enough to hold it all. I urge you to pray with all that you're feeling. Pray with the anger. Pray through the weeping. Continue your relationship with God even through the sorrow and the dry times. And I ask you to recall your history as you sow your tears with God, and remember that those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Amen.